Welcome everyone to the EOS Fireside Chat for August 23rd, 2023. We got a great show for you today. We got seven topics, a couple special guests. We'll be talking about the last call to opt out of the Block 1 class action. EOS Labs was on the Chinese Fireside last week. ENF is on the Coin Market Cap Spaces tomorrow. There's some Leap 5 upgrade action coming up. We're going to be disabling deferred transactions on the network. ENF office hours coming soon. We got the Antelope IBC webinar recap and some Upland racing news. Let's get right into it. So, final reminder for all of you that have been considering to opt out of the current Block 1 class action lawsuits. This is your last couple days to do that. Deadline is, I think, August 29th or, yeah, so a couple days left. If you haven't done it yet, you've been procrastinating a bit, it's okay, it happens to everyone, but definitely you need to get on that as soon as possible. Let's see some ones in the chat for everyone that's opted out that is present with us so far. And yeah, I'd like if someone can maybe add it all up. Oh no, that's going to be impossible. But here we go. Eve has opted out. I've opted out. We got 42 of us in here on Discord live. Let's see how many ones in the chat we can see. But yeah, let your friends know. Let other crypto community members know that may have been part of EOS at one point. Good for them to opt out. Good for them to show their interest in this potentially new class action that's going on.
I have a question. Is that so? I apologize. It's been a few weeks since I've been on the Fireside. Is this lawsuit or this class action, is this just for ICO token investors, or is this for any EOS users, or who would be in the group that should consider opting out?
Great question. Probably the best spot would be on that blog post that I shared, opt out. You'll have, you know, a good amount of information there. I don't know if anyone from the ENF wants to answer that question. I wasn't sure if I qualified or not, technically speaking. I just submitted anyways to be sure. So that's what I did. But if you're really curious, this topic was discussed in good length last week, and I think 2 weeks before that as well. So you can check out the recent Firesides. You'll find the timestamp, and you can you can get some more information there. All right, so just wanted to remind you guys, we got three people with the ones in the chat. Come on, guys. I know there's more than that. All right, next up, EOS Labs, this new organization that was announced a couple weeks back. Representative from EOS Labs was on the Chinese Fireside version of this event last week on Thursday, and the recap of the questions that were asked and the answers that were given is going to be published on Friday on the ENF blog. So there's not much else for me to say about that topic at this time. I know we talked about it last week, so I definitely wanted to bring it up, update you guys on what's going on there. So Friday we should have an article to read, and then next week we can definitely talk about that on the Fireside. I'm going to share in the chat here the latest blog post on this topic on the EOSnetwork.com. So if you're not familiar with the topic and you're wondering and you haven't seen this article, it's a good spot to find some information about EOS Labs. A little musical break before we move on. All right, before inviting Eve on stage here to talk a bit about tomorrow's Coin Market Cap event, I do want to thank everyone for tuning in, either live with us on Discord or on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Make sure to like or subscribe if you're on those platforms. If you're with us on Discord, share your thoughts in the chat, jump on stage with me, share the emojis, spam the memes, all the things. Thank you for making the EOS Fireside Chat a great show. So EOS, yeah, ENF on Coin Market Cap Spaces tomorrow. Pretty nice opportunity for EOS to tell its story. I know Eve is with us in the chat today. Eve, did you want to maybe say a few words about this event? Maybe how we got planned?
Well, I wasn't. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
It's always weird when you bring up this kind of topic. I'm not exactly sure what you're expecting. There's a CoinMarketCap thing tomorrow that I will be speaking at. Please come and join. Like, what else would you like me to say? Any questions, anything? Not sure what I'm supposed to do with this.
No, that's...
I mean, if you want to hear what I'll talk about, then listen in tomorrow. It likely, as with anything else, for those who are currently in this call, it's very unlikely that you'll learn something new tomorrow. A lot of these are targeted at people outside of EOS. And so they're new communities that'll be listening to this. So for them, anything that I share is new. For most of you on this call, nothing will be new. And so as much as it's nice, if you guys want to participate, it elevates the numbers. That's pretty cool. But I don't expect to share anything that you guys don't already know already, because we do have this format once a week. So you guys clearly have kind of the more up-to-date information. And in that type of podcast, it's very limited in what you can, you know, how much time you have and how deep you can go. And you're talking to a more general, broad audience that doesn't follow EOS day to day. So that's kind of that. I don't know, Steph, if there's anything particular you want to know.
That's pretty much it. I mean, just sharing what time the event is at, 11 Eastern on the August 24th. And maybe invite people to retweet the tweet that I shared. And
that is good. Yes. Please retweet. Please share. Yes.
It's good to share this event with the community. So I'm sure some people will want to listen in, although a lot of the OGs, like you say, know what's up with the EOS story. Mm. They don't necessarily need to go to these events to find out. But I think it's still nice, especially on CoinMarketCap, where this is a great platform for us to share a story. So
yes.
it doesn't have to be a big speech, but just inviting people to listen, to retweet, share the news.
I'm not certain of the format. So one thing that is different from this one is that from my end anyways, I'm going to be logging in Google Hangouts. So this is a live event. I'm not sure exactly for you and the audience. I know there's a CoinMarketCap app, but I don't think the CoinMarketCap live is through the app. So I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work. It's the first time that I have something like this that's live, but on Google Hangouts. Cool. So something new to try. CoinMarketCap as a whole, their podcast series or their live series, generally very well attended, and it's a good place to basically amplify a message and to get people in the broader ecosystem that aren't following along day to day to get caught up on what's going on.
I guess if I'm being truly honest here, what I'm most interested about is, like, how did this event come to be today in August of 2023 when, you know, last year this wouldn't happen, or 3 years ago certainly wouldn't have happened. So sometimes there's some cool stories. Oh, I met this person at this event or whatever it is. I like hearing about those things. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I guess sometimes.
Then if you want that scoop, it would not be me. That would be either Zach or if Laura's on the call. I believe Laura's the one that organized this particular one.
I'm always curious to learn more about how the crypto scene works, how the media back rooms, back channels operate. I don't know.
I'm just getting on. I heard my name. Are we talking about CoinMarketCap tomorrow?
Yeah, maybe a bit of backstory on the relationship that ENF has now with CoinMarketCap, how this event came to be. I'm always curious about that stuff.
CoinMarketCap, they've got a pretty strong, I don't know if you'd call them business development or community engagement. But they've got a pretty strong team, so they actually connected with us a while back. I met them at Token 2049 in London in person, and I, for example, gave them some suggestions to their news feeds. So I guess let me backtrack. CoinMarketCap is really trying to make CoinMarketCap like a go-to platform for community management, for blogging, for the equivalent of tweeting. And this is one of their new initiatives that they're trying to essentially create a platform for something similar to Twitter Spaces, but they're doing it within the CoinMarketCap platform. Within the CoinMarketCap platform, they also have like the equivalent of tweeting, like short messages, and you could actually now connect your Twitter account to CoinMarketCap so that it automatically like reposts your tweets. EOS support's pretty good with it. I see that they've kind of taken advantage of that integration. And then they also allow you to post blog articles on their site. So it just really has been a growing relationship since last year. They helped us, for example, take over the page back when the ENF first started. So that was like our first interactions with them, where we had to kind of explain to them that, hi, we're the ENF, we just started, and we would like to edit this page because it's incorrect. And I'm kind of rambling here, but the way it just came about was this is a new feature. They just started doing these equivalent of Twitter Spaces about a month ago. So they, we have a group chat with them. We have group chats with a bunch of different companies and projects that you know of in the space, like Binance, big exchanges, Messari, like everyone we work with. We typically do business through group chats. It's how things work in Web3. I've worked for multiple companies. It's how it's done. The CoinMarketCap team simply put it on our radar. Just said, they've got this new thing. Are we interested? And of course, we said, hell yes. So started planning it about a month ago. And here we are.
There you go. Very cool.
As far as expectations, I don't believe there will be any alpha that you guys don't know. If you're on this fireside chat, you're getting probably a... just keep in mind the audience for these interviews and these opportunities. So whenever we do them, we're not talking to you. We're not talking to the existing EOS community. We're talking to everyone outside of the echo chamber. So a lot of what's going to be discussed, a lot of the questions, which I've seen some of them, they're all going to be things that are very basic to you all. It's not necessarily new information to you, but it will be new information to all of the majority of the people listening.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Yep.
For that extra commentary on tomorrow's event. See, we finished with an interesting segment in the end, Eve, didn't we?
Yes, true, yes. I know what's going to happen is then somebody's going to listen to the interview and say, why did you talk about this? Because we don't choose. They ask the questions because they're trying to get information, right? It's new to them. So if you're on this call, expect that what you hear tomorrow is not going to be new to you. That's okay. That's fine. It is new to the host. It's new to the people listening to this. Those are the people that... That are basically tuning in. It's all the people that aren't in this particular group.
All that said, I still encourage you guys to listen just to, you know, make the numbers look good so that they invite us back.
Zach understands the game. Thank you, Zach. All right, Mauro has some questions about the opt-out form, actually. I don't know if anyone, Eve or Zach, wants to address them. I would say just submit the best information you can. If it's not perfectly accurate, probably not too big of a deal. And in terms of the class action process doesn't support mass opt-outs, this was clarified last week. This is not a mass opt-out. The form allows each individual to opt out of the class action individually. So that's not a concern here.
I'm reading the question. So the question, if you're talking about Mauro Cesar, so the answer number one is that he uploaded the CSV. So the form asking for a single price, just you could either put the collective price and just pick a date. Anyone that has an attachment, the attachment kind of supersedes whatever is put in the single field. The single field is more or less ballpark. So to opt out, the specifics aren't as strict as staking a claim, I would assume, because staking a claim would require more information, they would follow up and ask like nitty gritty details to provide evidence, more evidence. And that'll happen with any future cases also. So the questions being asked on the opt-out form are specifically just to opt out and fulfilling the requirements that the B1 settlement team published, which is date of purchases, price of purchases. I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, name, address, phone number, email address, basic information about the person. It's opt-out. You don't require the specifics. A lot of the information gathering is also being done to kind of help build any future cases, because the information is obviously shared with another legal team internally to work on that file. And I don't know what James said, but the method being used to do the opt-out through the web form, which is leverages an enterprise tool in the background called JotForm, which is the equivalent of DocuSign. So whenever you're signing these documents, it's leaving an audit trail. It collects your IP address in the background, a fingerprint of where that message was sent from, and it could verify. And there's also an e-signature. Whenever you're filling out that opt-out form, it requires you to sign. So it's essentially a legal document. So it's not a group opt-out. It's just, it's kind of like you handing me a letter and me like forwarding that letter along to someone else. That's essentially, it's just being coordinated by another party. But the individual who's filling out the web form is the one opting out. And there's, like I said, a digital electronic audit trail in the background to verify that each individual opted out on their own, and it's not a group opt-out. A group opt-out would be like if we went to the class action team, the settlement team, James's team, and said, we're opting out on behalf of all of the block producers. That would be a group opt-out. It's a little bit different. Without necessarily even having permission from the producers, or maybe that's even a bad example, but that's more closely similar to a group opt-out. I don't know if Eve has anything to add, but I think I hit everything.
All right, thank you, Zach. All right, before we go on to our next topic, quick reminder for everyone, get your POP token. If you're out here on Discord live with us, POP bot chat, go register your EOS account name. You'll get that airdrop to you later on today. And then the draw is going to happen in 2 weeks. So make sure you're holding your monthly raffle ticket to have your chance at earning prizes up to 50 EOS. There you go. So thanks for attending. All right, next up, Leap 5.0 upgrade, disabling deferred transaction. So this is a blog post that was just posted today. So I imagine this may be news to some of you. Let's see who's in the chat here that can talk to this this topic. The blog post is fairly straightforward. I was able to understand it when I read it. So definitely encourage everyone to read it for those of you who are more curious. Let's see here. Maybe Steven Diesel wants to talk about this.
I could speak to this, actually, if you can hear me.
Yes, we can. Who's this?
Perfect. Hi, this is Brian Hazard. I'm a product manager at the ES Network Foundation.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thank you. So, yeah, I just as a quick overview for those who haven't seen the announcement. First, what are deferred transactions, if you're not aware? They're also sometimes called scheduled transactions. It's basically a transaction that is submitted but is not executed until a later time. They were actually announced as deprecated way back, in fact, prior to the existence of the ES Network Foundation. Now we are following through with that deprecation and removing the deferred transaction feature. Just as a refresh for like why deferred transactions were deprecated in the first place. They create, basically, they're unreliable and they create additional complexities. So that unreliability stems from that gap in time from when they're submitted versus when they're executed. So you can imagine a regular transaction is either executed and included in the blockchain or not. A deferred transaction has sort of time to decompose, if you will, before it either tries to execute and then could potentially fail. In fact, there's 5 different possible statuses that can result when a deferred transaction is attempted to be executed. So it's more complicated from that perspective. And from that stems other issues in, you know, contracts needing to handle it, history nodes needing to handle it, the core software itself having the functionality in the first place. So there's a number of reasons that deferred transactions do cause some issues and why they were initially deprecated and now being removed. So then the last question is, why do it now? Because we have 5.0 coming up soon. The reason there is basically it's a matter of risk, right? So 5.0 is a large feature-packed release. It will include consensus changes, and we're as a community targeting a protocol activation for a major change to consensus algorithms this year, later in the year. So it's a large release with lots of features, and inherently that carries with it a certain level of risk in and of itself. Deferred transactions. I should also note on the nature of a protocol activation like this is that it means that at the time that happens, Leap 5.0, like the actual node piece of software that node operators are running, that 5.0 version becomes the earliest version of Nodius that is valid on a protocol that has upgraded to, past that, hard fork point, right? So what that means is that rollback isn't really an option. Whereas prior to a consensus change, you could have, different nodes running any version of the software that, that is protocol compatible, right? So what that means is that, rollback is more difficult, and that comes into play with why we're doing this now. So deferred transactions, while we have sort of evaluated, we as a community, this has been discussed on the node operator roundtable calls, which occur on Wednesday mornings for Eastern time, obviously different times for other folks. So we have a community as have discussed and evaluated, and the expected impact of removing deferred transactions is, we believe we understand what the impact is and that it'll be low. Having said that, with any kind of change like this, where you're relying, like third parties are consuming something, there's no way to really know the full extent of impact until you rip the Band-Aid off and see what happens, right? So we have a choice, right? There's the first choice, the default choice is wait for the 5.0 upgrade and have in that upgrade the removal of deferred transactions. The downside of that is that if we were to have encountered an unforeseen issue, which could be more than, could be any number of things, like even beyond, like maybe there's no bug, right? Maybe we learn something, for example, like an application that's very important to the ecosystem is using deferred transactions in a way that we didn't anticipate, right? And the alternatives we've suggested don't suffice, right? So so we learn something unexpected and we don't really have a clean way to revert. And so we find ourselves in kind of a moment of crisis, right? And that's what led to sort of option B, which is what we've rolled this announcement out for, which is to proactively disable deferred transactions by asking node operators to, it's a configuration change, a node configuration change, to disable this according to a schedule that's published on this blog post, which I think Stefan has shared, and also communicating to application developers with a timeline of when they should ensure that they are not using deferred transactions or have an alternative in place or are confident that when they stop executing, it won't negatively impact their application. And by doing that, if that unforeseen, situation were to arise, then we would be in a better position to react to that. We'd have more options at our disposal to choose how to react. And so the blog post does kind of go into some of the details and history of the conversation. It has links to sort of videos of the conversations where this was discussed. And most importantly, if you're a node operator or an application developer on EOS, it has instructions and timelines for what we're asking for your help with here.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. Anyone in the chat have any questions for Brian? Now would be the time to ask him.
I've got a question for Brian.
All right, hi Barry. Go for it.
Hi, Stefan, thank you. Are deferred transactions or the technology behind them another word for subscriptions? Subscription payments? In other words, is that what would have been used if someone was to set up?
No, so they could be used, theoretically, they could have been used in a variety of ways, but that isn't the primary use case that we've seen. So honestly, from a pure transaction volume perspective, the most common use case is for trading reasons. The most anticipated use case that they were designed for, so to speak, is for things like refunding when you are no longer using resources, right? For that sort of thing, which can be achieved in other ways than a deferred transaction. I'm not sure. I haven't really thought through the subscription use case to know whether that would have been a way they are used, and I'm not aware of specific examples of them being used that way. So I can't really comment on yes or no, but it isn't the primary intention or use case of them. Thanks for the question. So
just kind of a jump off from that. Given your experience with that technology, do you see a reason why a subscription payment system could not be made? Or is this basically saying that it's not possible?
Well, I don't think deferred transactions are the only way to implement it. I do see the value of subscription payments, and it is something that's come up and been discussed in the past. So I think it's possible through other mechanisms and something we could still explore in the future.
Okay. Yeah, I would encourage that for sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
Welcome.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking more about this over the coming month, or I guess this is happening in 2 weeks. Not coming month, coming, yeah, 2 weeks. So there you go. Maybe let's make sure to get the word out. All right. Thanks, Brian, for joining us.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right, next up on the agenda here, ENF Office Hours event coming soon to an EOS Discord server near you. Brandon, are you available to jump on the mic here and talk a bit about the concept behind this event?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Cool.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Just, I guess, in speaking with a lot of folks in the community, and people internally, we just kind of felt like it would be wise to open up a space for people to come hang out and talk about whatever's on their mind or development stuff or anything with, you know, zero agenda. It's just an office hour, and it'll be me, and I believe Nathan James will hang out sometimes. I'm not really sure. We haven't had a chance to talk about this a ton internally yet, but I'm just going to kick it off. And so it'll be right here on this very Discord server. I think we're going to aim for Thursdays. We'll communicate a little bit more clearly once we settled on a time. I don't want to say anything quite yet. It won't be tomorrow, but it'll be probably like the week after that we'll give it a start. And just want to have the door open in case anyone wants to pop in and talk. That's about that.
Is there going to be music during the office hours?
Yeah, we could play some music. That'd be fine. We'll get some like lo-fi hip hop going in the background, and
there you go.
Or bossa nova if you prefer. I don't want to put people to sleep though. We used to, I know a while back there was kind of a thing where folks were hanging out and on Discord in that way earlier on. We didn't keep up with it, and it wasn't, it was like really organized. It was just kind of folks showing up and playing music and hanging out. But this will be like a specific hour, and we'll just keep it at an hour for now and see how it goes. Ooh, that a door sound effect?
That is a door opening for the office hours. That's right.
Nice.
Been struggling to find it a bit late, but there you go. All right, cool. Thanks, Brendan. We'll make sure that event is up in the Discord events, of course. So if you want to get a reminder when that's happening, you can leave your interest on there, and then you'll also get notified when it goes live if you're part of the Discord server. So even more reasons to join the Discord, which, by the way, we're almost at 15,000 members. Very cool. 14,600 so far. Awesome. All right, talking about Discord, actually. So some of you may have noticed this weekend there was a small security incident in this EOS Discord server. So one of our moderator account was compromised. We're not 100% sure exactly how that happened. We suspect it may be a Discord exploit, or perhaps there was a trusted application that maybe got exploited. We're not 100% sure, but there was a moderator account that was compromised. There were some phishing links that were sent out. We quickly, obviously, found out. A lot of you messaged me, messaged others, and so we were able to kind of, you know, take control of the situation fairly quickly. But there was 3 users that are affected at this point. The total dollar losses are thankfully not too high, although I'm sure it's very high for the users that are affected, a couple $100 in total. So we just wanted to kind of remind everyone to stay safe out there. You know, the ENF will never post links for surprise airdrops or anything like that. Always be suspicious if you see something like that. If ever, and this is just good general practice in general, you know, if anything seems to be too good to be true from one of your favorite influencer accounts, always check other of their social media accounts to see if that same promo is being promoted elsewhere. It's very unlikely that multiple social media accounts of one brand or person would be compromised. So that's always something good to keep in mind. I mean, unfortunately, this type of stuff usually attracts newer people to the space, which sucks because it leaves a bad taste in their mouth. But yeah, just kind of reminders to stay safe out there. And if you are affected, feel free to reach out to us. We are in contact with those that were affected. But if you were affected by this, feel free to reach out to any of the mods here, and we'll take that information down. And yeah, so just wanted to mention that. And then today, actually, browsing Twitter, I saw a user, ZachXBT, posted a tweet about how often this happens to crypto communities, Discord servers being compromised. He lists 89 of them in the first 6 months of the year that have been compromised. Unfortunately, I guess our server may be added to this list in a little bit. But clearly, you know, this is something to be careful out there in crypto Discord land. All right, moving on to some more positive news. Antelope IBC webinar recap. So the IBC webinar happened, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Today, just before the fireside, actually, 1 hour before, fresh off the press, webinar week recap exploring Antelope IBC. Blog post is out. There's some nice graphics in there. Of course, it's a fairly technical article talking about Antelope IBC, but these graphics are very simple. They made me feel like I understood, even though I probably didn't. So that's nice. And yeah, I'll let you guys read it if you're interested. Panelists of this webinar were Areg, Director of Engineer at ENF, John Heater, CEO of Boyd.com, Philip Habnett, CTO of Chintai, and Seth, COO of Boyd.com. So a nice lineup here of OG Antelope community members. If you want to watch the recording, you can now also watch the recording of it. So I'm going to copy the link here. And then you do need to fill in a bit of information to get access to the video. And then you can watch the webinar in its entirety if that's interesting to you. And then, of course, there's a bunch of other IBC documentation available listed at the end of that blog post if you want to learn more about IBC. IBC documentation, IBC deep dive, the IBC webinar we're talking about, IBC and EOS, your hub for all things IBC. There's some podcasts, there's the Telegram, etc. So there's definitely a lot of resources out there for you to get your hands involved on Antelope IBC. And it's very cool to see more and more applications releasing features that utilize this IBC. And I'm sure we'll see more of that later on once Leap 5.0 is activated and instant finality brings, you know, IBC to another level. All right. Anyone have anything else that they want to add about this webinar IBC? I don't know. Did any of you attend it? Were some of the people on there, are they with us today? Maybe they want to give a quick, share some of their thoughts. Or maybe we'll just take a musical pause. MBB Cafe Poesia, welcome to the far side. You are excused for being late, but don't let it happen again. Lionheart 2, welcome as well. Lionheart asks if the new logo has been finalized. Good question. Any, Zach, did you want to take a crack at this? I'm not sure if it has been finalized or not, but it's definitely along in the process. I don't know if it would be characterized as finalized. Maybe we'll find out more later. Just one more topic on the agenda, guys. If you just let me speak by myself, we're gonna wrap this up in under an hour. What a disaster. there's
no.
Nice. There's some nice off-topic banter topics that we can get into. But first, I guess let's go to our last story of the week: Upland Racing update. Nothing too groundbreaking here. Just some more incremental improvements to these layer 2 games that are built in the Upland Metaverse. I keep being impressed by the amount of updates that's coming out from Upland and its ecosystem of games. And so it's very cool to see that growing every week. Of course, Upland is the most active app on EOS. So now the Upland Racing has some more features and abilities and more skills to the experience, apparently. And so quick little update from Upland. All right, so that kind of wraps up my agenda topics. At this point, if anyone else has any updates or you want to share a comment, off-topic banter, talk about how much money you're making with social Ponzi's, whatever it is, go for it.
Weren't we due an update on the EOS Labs situation? I think that's how we left it last week. More information, more details.
We sure are due for an update, Perry, but I mentioned it at the top of the show. Maybe you weren't there at that time. The recap article is going to be coming out on Friday. So that article wasn't published on time for this show, but it's going to be published Friday. We can certainly talk about it next week.
All right. Thank you.
There was a Medium post. I mean, if you really want to read it, you could use Google Translate. There's a Medium post. I'll find a link and drop it in here. But our Chinese team dropped a Medium article that recapped it. And the Google Translate, like, I could understand it from the translation. We will be putting out, like, a cleaned-up English version on Friday. But if you want to catch up on it now, here you go. I just dropped it in the text chat. Just use your Chrome browser should automatically translate it if you have the extension installed.
You guys hear about the address that had accumulated $3 billion of Bitcoin over the last few months? It's been revealed to be Robinhood. Apparently that's why we got a little relief rally this morning in the crypto markets. I feel like that's good news. What do you guys think? Is that good news or not for the crypto space? One in the chat that it's good news that Robinhood is holding $3 billion of Bitcoin. Zero in the chat if it's bad news. I'm going one. Oof. 8 zeros from Zach. Zach's not happy. Why so many zeros, sir?
Well, why would we be happy that, like, this huge corporation is holding so much crypto? All they do is mistreat their users.
Boom, I'm a zero now. It's true, but I think in the end, they can't mistreat the Bitcoin asset as much as they mistreat other assets. So I feel like it's good overall for the financial system and for Bitcoin and for crypto. Zero Morrow coming in with a zero as well. Daniel Keys coming in with a begging gif. Not even sure I get it. Morrow, why
Robin you... Hood. From Disney's Robin Hood.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I'm due to catch up on my Disney references. Morrow, why are you voting zero? Why is this a bad thing, in your opinion? Daniel Keyes coming in with a philosophical one, stating Bitcoin is for everyone. That's right. Even those who want to use it for JPEGs. If the end game is central banks buying Bitcoin, then Robinhood holding a bunch of it is definitely a step on that path. In my opinion. Interesting question from TK. Will OpenSea finally have real competition now since everyone is leaving it? I guess you're talking about the overall volume of NFT sales across marketplaces, maybe more evenly distributed now. But it seems like a lot of NFT marketplaces are shutting down, even those that were well-funded. It's dire out there in the NFT land right now.
I think projects are leaving. Like, I think I heard news that Yuga Labs is leaving OpenSea, and maybe that's what TK is referring to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know if that's what he's referring to, but that's just one example of, yeah, these marketplaces struggling. Or, you know, there's more competition, so there's more options for brands to move around, which I think is good. But I think we'll see. We'll see a consolidation into maybe, hopefully a couple big players with a decentralized, you know, governance model. Hey, Veronica comes in the chat. Did you know on Thursdays there's going to be a Spanish fireside chat? There you go. Thanks, Veronica, for sharing the news and hosting that event on Discord on Thursdays. So we got the English Fireside Chat on Wednesdays every week. We've got Spanish Fireside Chat on Thursdays every 2 weeks. And then alternating on those other 2 weeks, we also have the Chinese Fireside Chat. So love to see all the communities in EOS having these regular new shows to come hang out, have some guests join these shows, and give opportunities to different builders from around the world in EOS to be able to talk about their projects in their native languages to their communities. I think it's great. Round of applause for Spanish and Chinese firesides. Mel asking, who's to say the price isn't being artificially manipulated to push the BTC price down so the big boys can buy them up cheap as chips? Definitely possible. Definitely a narrative I've seen circling around crypto Twitter. My biggest fear with these big investment banks buying up a lot of Bitcoin is the possibility that they will start selling paper Bitcoins. And while they say they're regulated, maybe the regulators are going to force them to sell paper Bitcoin to suppress the price and to destroy trust in retail's ability to hold Bitcoin through these big institutions. So that's my biggest fear about that. Nice pick, Veronica. John and Seth greeting us from Florida, celebrating boy's anniversary in front of some NASA installation. Very cool. Brandon Espinoza sharing that he's more concerned with the threat of larger financial entities becoming involved with Bitcoin core development prior to protocol ossification. Anyone playing around with the Friend Tech Social Ponzi game? I've stayed away myself. How'd you do, Trimbot? You up or down? Trimbot claiming almost one ETH of profit. Nicely done. Congrats on winning at a Ponzi. Saying he's interested because he's interested in SocialFi and was considering building a similar one. Yeah, from what I've heard about the tokenomics, seems like the rewards are very front-loaded and seems like people are skeptical that creators are going to continue to be incentivized to continue to create content after making a large share of their revenue upfront. There you go, Trimbot saying it's unsustainable and not done properly. Trimbot says he thinks it's unsustainable, not done properly, because there's no value provided other than glorified paid Discord chat. Exactly. Most content creators use Patreon, Gumroad, etc. for other ways of providing value. I agree with that. It actually kind of reminded me a bit about these NFT subscriptions I purchased early in the NFT craze on Wax, where these creators were promising, you know, airdrops for X number of months after getting paid 100% upfront. Obviously, those airdrops weren't very, very good in the end. Trimbot says, so Frentech, it becomes a marketplace for speculation. It's for crypto Twitter users to speculate instead of for content creators slash influencers to monetize exclusive content discounts, etc. But Trimbot still had fun playing and making almost one ETH in profit. Not a bad experiment and exploration of some social fi. Do we know if we can short anything related to Frentech? That's something I'd be interested in. You just never know how high that final pump wick will be, where it liquidates your position before making you rich. And then I can never sleep if I've got such a position open. Should probably stay away. Yeah, I was just remembering voice, but figured I didn't want to talk about that. Yeah, definitely one of the attempts at SocialFi. Lots of attempts going on.
You still got your pen?
Hey, Zach, you're unmuted. I don't know if you meant to be unmuted.
Yeah, I asked, do you still have your voice pen?
Oh, my voice pen. No,
they mailed all of the Genesis users a pin. That was the gift for posting 6 months of content exclusively there and then have it rugged. I literally have post history and pictures that I shared that I didn't post anywhere else that I no longer have access to. Because of this blockchain social media, that it's a private single node blockchain that no longer exists.
Incredible.
And I wasn't able to recover my post. They had some process to request it. I never got.
All right, one final poll before we wrap up the show. Do you guys think there will be a recession in the United States in the next 12 months? One for yes, zero for no. I really have no idea. I get convinced either way from day to day, but I think I'm leaning yes.
I'll answer that with a question. Do we think there'll be another pandemic in another year or not?
Oh boy. Yana, are you ready for 7 hours?
No, I mean, obviously anything could happen, but I think we saw what happened, like when the lockdowns happened and then everyone was let out of their houses for a little bit and then they tried locking everyone back in. It didn't go over so well. It'd be like, you can only be a caged animal for so long, but I guess like it would depend on the pandemic. I think if something like Ebola where you're bleeding from your eyes, that'd be quite scary and I would be locked in my house personally.
Yeah. I was very obedient with the lockdowns. I mean, I don't mind staying inside anyways, even if there's no lockdown. So it wasn't that big of a deal for me, but definitely not very likely to be doing that again, especially after all of the science that has come out. And it's just like, yeah, I didn't trust institutions of the government very much before, but I trust it even less now. No more lockdowns for me, says Mel. Yeah, very unlikely for me as well.
At least we're prepared this time. We know what we're in for if it were to happen, but I don't think I don't think it'd be easy to do. Like ever, I don't know how we even got on this topic of the pandemic, but I do remember being scared shitless. Like when it first happened, I thought everyone was going to die. So it was really easy to keep me locked up.
Me too.
This is a nice pivot from Perry, who absolutely wants to make sure we go at least 2 hours for the show.
I was pretty scared when it started too. I got a P100 respirator and like stayed inside and renovated my office about a week before everyone started staying home. And it was a while before I started doing stuff again. I took it seriously for like a year, year and a half. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to music festivals again. But, you know, there are epidemics going on in the United States that just nobody talks about that's worth mentioning. Like Lyme disease. Oh, I got Lyme disease. This is horrible. It's all over the East Coast. And the Northeast especially, which is not where I am. But and then the chronic wasting disease that doesn't affect humans, but it's all in deer. And then there's one that I forget the name of, but it makes you allergic to red meat forever, which they're pretty close to curing that one. Lyme, they're going to have a vaccine for, I think in 2024 or 2025. And then that other one, they're very close to curing the red meat thing. But I mean, nobody talks about that. I don't know why. Lyme disease was worse than COVID, in my opinion. I've had both.
Relatives with Lyme. My dad had it. It's terrible. You could actually get the vac. Well, you could have a 50-50 chance at getting the vaccine. My wife and I are both enrolled in that clinical trial. I don't know if you could do it in every city, but at the University of Pittsburgh, we were able to get our Lyme disease vaccines, but we might have placebo. I have no idea.
Thanks really for the tip. I'll look into that.
Yeah, go to clinicaltrials.gov, see if it's available in your city.
I'm legit buying chickens and building a chicken coop because they eat ticks and I can't do that again.
Vincent asking about any new projects coming to EOS/EOS EVM that we know about. Well, actually, Vincent, next week or maybe in the coming weeks, we should have both PlayZap and Pith join us on the Fireside to talk about their app. And these are two apps that are launching on the EOS EVM. Pith is an Oracle, if I remember correctly, and PlayZap, I'm not sure. I've heard about that, so A bit of alpha for you, Vincent. We're gonna get some new projects probably joining us on the Fireside in a little bit. There we go. Steph leaking alpha without knowing it. Boom. You're welcome, everyone.
Plays Up, there will be more information on them over the coming weeks. They were, for a moment in time, the top game on a Binance smart chain, which is pretty cool. So they'll be here next Wednesday, you said?
Well, I don't know if it's next Wednesday, but soon. Eventually, slash soon, slash maybe next Wednesday.
Yeah, I think they're just working out some kinks. They're on testnet. They're trying to launch.
So what was the result of our poll? Is there going to be a recession? I think yes, there is going to be a recession. You heard it here first. Put your shorts in. There is going to be a recession. This is not financial advice. We're just kidding. But the votes did come 6-2 or maybe 5-3. All right, let's do another poll. Will Binance implode in the next 12 months and at one point stop users from being able to withdraw funds? I'm gonna go with one for yes, zero for no. What do you think about Binance? Is it just another FTX? Is CZ really selling our Bitcoin to prop up his BNB shitcoin? Zach thinks it will employ Trimbot as well. Got a bunch of zeros. Sounds like BNB holders to me. I took off all my funds from Binance a couple months ago, actually. Just not worth taking a risk. Let's say there's a 5% chance, you know, that something disastrous happens to Binance. Do you really want to be holding funds on there if something disastrous happens? No, even if it's just a 5% chance. That 1 in 20, if it hits, could be disastrous, you know, for your assets. So play it safe. Take those assets off Binance, in my opinion. Yeah, Mockingbird says if Binance explodes, things get scary for Coinbase. For sure, things get scary for the entire crypto space, for sure. I'd also rather that not be the case. But like Trimbot, I think Coinbase and Kraken are pretty solid. I actually had a friend reach out to me this week asking where they should put their assets from Binance. I'm not sure what. I think it's probably safer for them to put it on Coinbase than to try to figure out how to hold them themselves. They're not necessarily super technologically adept, so I recommended Coinbase to them. To propose a new EOS show for the Hindi community, for the Indian community. That's great. Yeah, send me a message. Definitely happy to chat with you, help you get a new EOS news show off the ground. Rue, definitely happy to get you some pop token allocation if you're trying to start a new EOS news show for a new language community. That's great. Hit me up. Thank you. Who's going to a music festival soon? Share in the chat. Anyone going to Burning Man? Or I think that's right now, actually. I think that started this week. Should start to see some cool pictures being shared around. Daniel Key's going to see Peter Gabriel in September. Zach maybe lost hands, but hasn't bought a ticket yet. It would help if you buy a ticket. It will increase your odds of going. I've been looking through some of the Tomorrowland 2023 sets that have been being posted on YouTube lately. Brings back some good memories. Daniel's been busy. Saw Queens of the Stone Age recently and Goggle Bordello. Not sure, I've never heard that before, but before that, there you go. Mel hitting up some dance festival. What's up, Mel? I would not have guessed you'd be going for some electronic dance music as your preferred choice. A journey through house music. Sounds fun. Wish I could go. We want to see some pictures, Mel, next Fireside, or else I'm server muting you until you share pictures. Dubstep better than house. Come on, Zach. Let's see this poll. One, if you think dubstep is better than house. Two, if you think house is better than dubstep. Sweep. 3-0 sweep, instant sweep.
Well, like any good American, I like dubstep better. Just saying. Y'all Europeans can keep your house music. I respect it, though, because I did go to school and work in Detroit. So I do respect house. I'll go to house shows. But dubstep.
Gotta be true to your heart, man. I can respect someone's love for the wub wubs and the wop wops, but I am from Detroit natively, and yeah, it's house is too good. But I respect your opinion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You'd never lived in the Detroit metro area if you don't at least respect house. Or Chicago, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had some appropriate sound effects right now, but I don't. All right, I think we're gonna wrap it up. Just a minute or two. Last chance to get your off-topic banter in. Share some GIFs. Share some of your favorite dubstep or house tracks in the chat. and we'll do it all over again very soon. No, Yana, we're just about to wrap up here. Are we still live on all the social media? Sometimes Dave cuts me off, I think, when I ramble too much. But no, that's all good. Thanks for keeping the stream alive, Yana. Thanks for everyone else who joined us today. We're gonna do it again, of course, next week. Until that time, I hope you guys have a good week. And of course, as always, let's go EOS!
Go EOS!